This week on Making Contact.
There's no question that one of the largest terrorist schools in the world is right there at Fort Benning, Georgia.
This protest has made an amazing difference and is a really supreme example of grassroots organizing and spreading that kind of grassroots awareness and changing people's outlooks and lives.
Tens of thousands of military officers throughout Latin America have been trained in counterinsurgency tactics by the U.S. Army. Some of the graduates of the School of the Americas, now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, have been linked to grave human rights violations. On this program, we take a look at the School of the Americas and a broad-based movement of human rights activists and religious groups that's organizing to shut down the Institute. I'm Philip Babbitt, your host this week on Making Contact, an international radio program seeking to create connections between people, vital ideas, and important information. The U.S. Army School of the Americas first opened its doors in 1946 in Panama. The school then moved to Fort Benning, Georgia in 1984. It still resides there under a different name, the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Throughout its history, the school has molded Latin American military officers, teaching them counterinsurgency tactics and psychological warfare methods. Manuals that teach torture have been used to train Latin American soldiers at the school, according to admissions by the U.S. Department of Defense. Some graduates of the school have been linked to atrocities, including the massacre of 900 men, women, and children in the village of El Mazote in El Salvador in the early 1980s. The Colombian military sends one of the largest contingents of officers to the Institute. As part of its investigation into allegations of human rights abuses committed by the Colombian military, a unit in Colombia's Attorney General's office has discovered that several graduates of the School of the Americas are linked to massacres, disappearances, and paramilitary activity. Pedro Diaz Romero, the former head of the Human Rights Unit, told Making Contact about some of the findings. Speaking at a protest at Fort Benning, Georgia, Diaz Romero began by explaining why he left his country to seek asylum in the United States.
El periodo del anterior fiscal terminaba el 4 de julio.
In Colombia, the Attorney General is elected for 4 years. The former Attorney General's term ended on July 4, 2002, and that coincided with the trial of a retired Army general who was trained at the School of the Americas. He was being tried for the crime of paramilitary activity in association with forced disappearances, homicides, and massacres in the state of Urabá. Due to the Human Rights Unit's investigations into the involvement of military officers in paramilitary activity, members of the Colombian Army made repeated public statements alleging that our prosecutors and investigators had links to the leftist guerrillas. In Colombia, that's an invitation for violent action to be carried against members of the unit. In the past 2 years, 5 attorneys and more than 15 investigators have been assassinated for this reason. Aside from this, I had a meeting with some members of non-governmental organizations after I left the Human Rights Unit, in which I learned about the details and circumstances of a plot to kill me.
Diaz Romero cites 2 examples of Colombian military officers who are graduates of the School of the Americas.
Uno de ellos de un teniente del ejército de apellido Tarazona.
One is Lieutenant Tarazona, who was trained at the School of the Americas. He disappeared in 1994 and assassinated 2 investigators from the Attorney General's office in the town of Lebrija in the department of Santander. This lieutenant was tried and sentenced to 58 years in prison. He was sent to a military prison, which he escaped from, and was then recaptured. He escaped again, and he ended up working with the paramilitaries. I can also talk to you about General Farouk Janin Diaz, who the Attorney General's office charged with the training and formation of paramilitary groups in Magdalena Medio, groups which have killed more than 2,000 people in that region. The military justice system absolved him, and he was trained at the School of the Americas.
On September 9, 2002, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage certified that Colombia met human rights conditions that were set forth as prerequisites to receive further U.S. military aid. That day, an estimated $70 million was released for weapons, munitions, and other supplies. Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and the Washington Office on Latin America disputed the certification, saying that Colombia had failed to meet any of the human rights conditions. Eric Olson of Amnesty International called the certification, quote, a mockery of the law. Diaz-Romero says that the Colombian government's record of human rights abuses is well recognized by international courts.
Las Naciones Unidas.
The United Nations, and specifically the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, has brought more than 150 cases of human rights violations against the Colombian government. When I was head of the Attorney General's Human Rights Unit, I came and represented the Colombian government before the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights for these violations, and the country has been internationally condemned for this. It's common knowledge in international human rights courts that grave human rights violations are committed in Colombia. The violations are so severe that it would be difficult to describe what they do to people. You wouldn't even see it in a movie.
Pedro Diaz-Romero spoke with Making Contact's Peggy Law at Fort Benning, Georgia. Each year in November, thousands of activists and religious groups stage a protest outside the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia, to call for the closure of the School of the Americas. Making Contact's Amy Pomerleau has more.
Abby Miller considered herself primarily an environmentalist until she lived on the Little Flower Catholic Farm in central Virginia. On the organic farm, she learned about violence and poverty around the world and began thinking more about social justice and human rights issues.
The particular event that moved me was meeting a man from Colombia who's the president of a displaced Afro-Colombians group. Just listening to him and talking to him about his experiences and the work that he's doing to bring justice for his people, his having firsthand experience with what is coming out of the School of the Americas and realizing that it's real people that are being affected and these are real killings and real tortures and disappearances that are happening because of what my government is doing. And he's working as hard as he can on his end of it in Colombia, working to stop his government from displacing his people. And I realized that I had to do everything I could to stop my government from doing what they're doing.
Miller joined over 10,000 protesters at Fort Benning in Georgia in November 2001. The broad-based movement of human rights and peace activists, as well as religious groups, were protesting the U.S. Army's School of Americas, SOA, recently renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. The Institute's curriculum includes courses on leadership development, counter-narcotics, and peace support operations. Activists like 19-year-old Peter Gelderus say what really goes on in the school is far more sinister, that graduates of the school are responsible for some of the worst human rights abuses in Latin America.
The function of it is to train soldiers who are invited over from Latin American countries in various tactics, like commando tactics, counterinsurgency, assassination, interrogation, torture, union busting, putting down popular uprisings. And so these soldiers are trained in these tactics, and then they go back to their countries in Latin America and armed with the tools that they need to help prop up brutal dictatorships and regimes, which are typically friendly to United States business and political interests. For instance, if you just go back to the 80s and compare, for instance, Nicaragua and El Salvador, Nicaragua was under the control of the Sandinistas. That was always referred to as a dictatorship and a regime because it was engaged in activities like agricultural cooperatives and other activities that did not favor United States business interests. Whereas El Salvador was always called a democracy by the United States. They were engaged in the popular repression of their people, the slaughter of many of their people, hundreds of thousands actually during this time. And their people were starving while El Salvador exported farm products and beef and bananas to the United States for really cheap, and then imported U.S. products.
Among the SOA's nearly 60,000 alumna are notorious dictators such as Manuel Noriega of Panama and Roberta de Albazan of El Salvador. In 1996, the Pentagon was forced to release SOA training manuals. These manuals advocate the use of torture, extortion, and execution. In July 2002, a Florida federal jury awarded $54 million to three Salvadorans tortured by Salvadoran generals connected to the SOA. Since 1995, protesters have gathered every November to commemorate the 1989 murder of six Jesuit priests in El Salvador, which a U.S. congressional task force reported those responsible were trained by the SOA.
This big protest is a commemoration of their death, but also all the people that have died as a result of School of America's graduates. And traditionally what happens is there's a funeral procession where each person involved takes a cross with the name of somebody who's been killed or disappeared by School of the America's graduates and processes in a very solemn funeral procession towards the base. And every year except for this one, people have crossed onto the base, thousands of people have crossed onto the base with these crosses to take the names of the people who've been killed back to the place that it came from.
Gelderus, Miller, and organic farmer Lee Sturgis, along with other protesters from Harrisonburg, Virginia, wrote a citizen's arrest indictment for the Institute's personnel.
The indictment is charging School of the Americas personnel with contributing to terrorism and torture by training Latin American soldiers in torture, espionage, counterinsurgency, union busting, assassination, and other practices against which there are very many clear laws and treaties.
We felt that that was the best way to get the issue out in the open and also to express to the people who are responsible that we think that what they're doing is wrong.
It was all typed up, and we carried it, each carried it in our hands as we walked around holding hands, walked around the fence. We had to go through a ditch and around the other side of the fence. Meanwhile, there's military police there watching us as we go around with 80 other people that did similar things. They didn't do exactly what we did, but they did similar symbolic actions and then went on the other side and we were arrested and put on buses and taken to a camp where everyone was held until we got sent to court.
43 people were arrested and given fines. Some received jail sentences ranging from 3 to 6 months. Miller is currently serving 3 months.
With this particular protest and what I think it's doing, it's produced a lot of people who have ended up in jail. And a lot of people have asked us, you know, what do you think you're going to accomplish by going to jail? Aren't you going to be more effective by staying out of jail? And certainly that point could be debated. But I really do believe that for this particular movement, the amount of people who are willing to risk their freedom because they want the School of the Americas closed and are willing to say with everything they have, their bodies and their freedom and their heart and soul, that they think this should be stopped no matter what, is really something for the average citizen and for our lawmakers who have started to take notice. The first, there's a bill in Congress right now, H.R. 1810, that will shut down the school for a period of 10 months while they do a congressional review. And it's been on the books for a few years. Wasn't really going anywhere until 1997 when the first large group of people went to jail. And after that year, when the first mass group of people went, that's when the bill absolutely took off. And lawmakers started co-signing because they were so impressed and started paying attention to this because people were going to jail for it. This protest has made an amazing difference and is a really supreme example of grassroots organizing and spreading that kind of grassroots awareness and changing people's outlooks and lives.
For Making Contact, I'm Amy Pomerleau.
You are listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information about the subject of this week's program, or you would like to contact any of our guests, please give us a call. It's toll-free, 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. For a further look at the movement to shut down the School of the Americas, now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, we go to Knoxville, Tennessee, where activists gave a send-off to one of their own who was going to prison for crossing the line at Fort Benning, Georgia. Correspondent Jim Hickey was there.
Eric Johnson is a sturdy 50, fit and jolly. His wife, Libby, is a willowy beauty. They move together in the magical way of seasoned couples, joined by love, as they stand together on a sun-drunk Appalachian September morning. The flying flags of 9/11 surround them in downtown Knoxville. So do 100-odd friends and family on the steps of the venerable First Presbyterian Church. They are sending Eric to federal prison in Kentucky for 6 months, for trespassing at the School of the Americas in November 2001. Many of those present are members of Reverend Johnson's Presbyterian congregation. He speaks about the support and love he is receiving and about the emotion of the moment.
I'm very conscious that I'm not going in alone. I'm taking a whole company of people who have dared to dream and hope for a world without violence, a world where neighbors relate one to the other in nonviolent love and mutual respect and hopefulness for justice, for well-being. So part, and a large part of that support is my immediate family, my wife, Libby here, and my children. Two of them are married, their spouses, and the network of friends that have come to best concern and shared hope.
Elizabeth Johnson, in addition to raising five children and helping build a parish in the mountains of Tennessee, has been a long-standing compatriot for her husband. She is a founder of the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance, as well as an organizer to close the School of the Americas. She tells of her fears and of her unwavering stance and support of Eric Johnson.
When I returned home to an empty bed and an empty house, it was hard to realize that this will be for 6 months. Because we were part of a whole, it made the journey a lot easier for me and my five children. I was able to visit him for the first time in prison, and that gave me a lot more a sense of peace because I knew that he was okay. Those are some of the feelings that I have as a wife and as a mother to children that have seen their father in jail and in a system that oppresses. But we are in this together.
22 co-defendants voluntarily surrendered on September 10th. Along with 9 people on probation and 5 currently serving sentences in Georgia jails, they are collectively known as the SOA 36. Rich Ring came to activism through the Catholic Worker Movement, grounded in solidarity with the poor. Recently, he was in Guatemala attending the trial of those accused of murdering Bishop Girardi, who was bludgeoned to death 2 days after releasing a report that found that the Guatemalan army and related forces were responsible for the vast majority of the human rights crimes during that country's long civil war.
They welcomed me there. They didn't demand to know who I was. They didn't blame me, as they justly could have, for my tax dollars and what it had brought upon them. They welcomed me. They thanked me for being there. They broke bread with me. I was talking with a Spanish teacher of mine. He, in fact, had been a medic during the war, or a translator for a medic. He had traveled with doctors to the scenes of the battles and helped English-speaking doctors communicate with their patients. And so he'd seen a lot of the same things. You know, I'm asking you, what can I do? I don't have much money. My Spanish isn't that great. I don't have any medical skills. But I want to know what I can do, which, you know, it's sort of a self-serving question. I guess maybe I caught my teacher on a bad day. But he just turned to me and he said, if you really want to help, go home and change your country.
When people meet Rich, they see immediately to the strength of his character and to the beauty of his soul.
Amy Ward is Rich Ring's partner. She is a PhD student at Emory University in Atlanta. She tells of the struggle she had bringing her friends and family to an understanding of Rich's choice.
My friends, they had problems with it in the beginning because they didn't know what the school was either. And when I explained to them what it was and what he was doing and why he was doing it, there was almost immediate support for it. My parents were a little bit harder to come around. We come from a very conservative, very fundamental type background. They met him and they've listened to me and they've seen how happy and how peaceful the two of us are together, and they are very supportive as well.
Eric Johnson remembers the many friends from Latin America he has lost, the community of life that is at stake in this process that allows him so easily to give up 6 months of his life.
We're talking about teachers, we're talking about priests, and they disappeared out of the beauty and the wonder of living in community with their families and neighbors. They disappeared to be tortured. I carry their memory in my heart and my consciousness. I dare to do that because I've witnessed the courage of my co-defendant already in and those who, and the families of those who grieve the loss of people in Central and South America, who continue to keep on keeping on.
For Making Contact, I'm Jim Hickey from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Another one of the activists who was arrested and sentenced to prison for entering the base at Fort Benning, Georgia, is Father Louis Vitale. He received a 3-month sentence for trespassing on federal property. A former airborne intercept officer for the U.S. Air Force, Father Vitale is a Franciscan friar and the pastor at St. Boniface Church in San Francisco. He says that one of the reasons he was willing to risk a prison sentence was his experiences in El Salvador, talking with people who had witnessed massacres and torture at the hands of those who were trained at the School of the Americas.
I visited villages and I visited refugee camps where you talk to people about how these people came in and just, you know, raped them, killed their husbands, took off their sons, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I talked to people who were there who were tortured. Some of them told about having American advisors right there in the room or in the next room. Then realizing that almost all of these people, 2/3 of those active in El Salvador, were trained at the School of the Americas. Most of them now are in Colombia. The enormous amount of violence that's going on, where they're going into villages and just taking people out and killing them, and they are trained at the School of the Americas. So once you start making that connection, you go, my God, how can we contribute to this? So really, when you get down there and you see what they're doing, you just really want to do everything you can to shut it down. Or as we say all the time, not in our name.
You know, I'm sure you encounter this, or assume you encounter this sometimes in your work, where someone just cannot believe that the United States is behind atrocities, torture, et cetera, the things that you're talking about. What do you say to someone to get through to them, to convince them that this has actually happened and continues to happen?
Listen to public radio. You know, I mean, just yesterday I was listening to some stuff on public radio about, you know, children had been in Lebanon and Beirut 20 years ago when they had the massacres. And, you know, children describing as a child what that kind of slaughter was. And then when you listen to any, you know, reasonable analysis of, you know, where the sources of those are and what countries and what interests, like in Colombia now, it's mostly oil and such, you know, you begin to wake up, you know, and once you wake up, you know, you've got to make the connections.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us some of the more difficult stories that you've had to hear in El Salvador or maybe other Central American countries that has connections to School of the Americas?
One woman that I know of that she was, all of the people were assaulted and she just laid like she was dead. But they took a sword and cut her open all the way down, opened her up, and she managed to finally get up and to hold all her guts inside, you know, and to walk miles to get to some place where she could get help. And all the rest of her family had been assaulted. I heard another woman describe how she had hidden while her own children were being killed, but she knew no one would give the story out if she didn't go out, you know, didn't stay quiet and get out to tell the story. And then she has to live with the fact that she didn't do anything while her children were being killed. I mean, I just story after story. And then we find out that 2/3 of those, if you just use those odds, were trained at the School of the Americas. You know, it's really horrendous. Mm-hmm. And it's not democracy. We say that school is there to teach democracy. That is the biggest Pharisaism. As soon as you get there, they put up a sign now that says, you will not be allowed to have protests, speeches, demonstrations, any kind of political addresses, anything here on this property. And they're supposed to be teaching them about democracy. We got in court with Judge Faircloth, the one who gives us all these big sentences, you know, and he just kept trying to tell us, well, this is democracy and you have to use democratic means. So the things they are using are supposed to be democratic means, but the fact that we would join a funeral procession going on the base is not a democratic means. He and I had these big debates about this. I tried to do a little teach-in with him, you know, to just say, he kept saying, you know, we should be using democratic means, which means strictly legal means. And I kept trying to say, look, We have supports of Nancy Pelosi, our congresswoman, gave us a send-off from her office to support us in going to trial and going to prison. She's using the legal means. She's trying to pass House Resolution 1810 to close down the School of the Americas as the whip in the Congress. But at the same time, we know that the country changes through those who can kind of step out of the box, step across the line, that the major changes have come in democracy through people acting in the name of the values they believe in.
You know, the school also says, in addition to teaching democracy, it also teaches about human rights. What's your response to that?
I talked to the chaplain about this because that's why I used my opportunity to talk to the chaplain. 4 hours. They get 4 hours of human rights courses. There's one that's called on how to demine. In other words, how to defuse landmines. There's also another course that's taught on planting mines. Now, what's going to do the most? Somebody who goes to a course and hears a little bit about demining, or those who are taught the techniques of planting landmines. The chaplain admitted there were like four, maybe, that showed up for the course. They're taught 4 hours out of the whole time they're there. They get 4 hours if they show up. It's the most unattended of any of the classes that they have there. So, yes, they say they teach human rights, but it's purely tokenism. We had one of the teachers, Major Bryan, who had taught there, he witnessed and testified at our trial, and he said that nothing has really changed. They took out the one manual on torture, but otherwise it's just the same.
Hmm. You also mentioned terrorism, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the school, particularly as the U.S. government is launching what's often called a war on terrorism.
Well, you know, anything you do, you got to start in your own backyard. I mean, I'm in my church, and if I want to start giving a sermon on people have to practice forgiveness, I have to start with, do I forgive? You know, how do I act to people? And terrorism is when you use force against people that affects their lives, their livelihood, their opportunities without, obviously, their consent. And that's what happens with the School of the Americas. They are training. It's a combat school. It's training people to go in and do counterinsurgency and all of that. And that's terrorism. I mean, if you're in one of those villages and you broadcast those kind of accounts. If you're in these villages and you see these people marching into your village and slaughtering people, you're sure as hell terrified. And the people who are trained there are trained how to be terrorists. Now, however the president chooses his priorities, there's no question that one of the largest terrorist schools in the world is right there at Fort Benning, Georgia.
So you think President Bush is not on solid moral grounds right now, saying that we are fighting against terrorism to free the world and support and promote democracy?
We're fighting as self-chosen targets that meet our political agenda.
Father Louis Vitali of the St. Boniface Church in San Francisco received a 3-month prison sentence for trespassing and civil disobedience on Fort Benning, Georgia. And that's it for this edition of Making Contact, a look at the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, formerly known as the School of the Americas. Thanks for listening, and special thanks to Phil Easley at WEMC in Harrisburg, Virginia, for recorded portions. If you would like more information about the subject of this week's program, or if you would like to get in touch with any of our guests, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org. That's radioproject.org. Laura Lavati is our acting executive director, Peggy Law, a founding director, Women's Desk director Lisa Rudman, associate producer Amy Pomerlo, senior advisor Norman Solomon, national producer David Barsamian, administrative coordinator Rosalyn Fay, executive assistant Susanna Hines, and I'm your host and managing producer Philip Babich. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Until next time.